Christmas movies can be fun, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what your Christmas movie traditions were, but I think every family has some. Home Alone is a good one. You got a little bit of everything in there, a little bit of slapstick humor. I will highlight another Christmas movie next week. Just to kind of help spice things up a little bit. I don't know, have you ever felt alone? I think it's fun to take that example of that movie Home Alone and think about, all the craziness, and you love seeing so Danny DeVito getting smacked in the face and, all of the craziness. But I know that each one of us here in this room have had a different upbringing, different life experiences. But one thing that I certainly have learned from my own life is that you can feel alone when you're truly physically alone. And you can feel alone when you're in a crowd. You can feel alone walking in a new city. I think about Chris walking in here from the Radio Shack. The first Sunday Chris came was, genuinely kind of alone in this pocket of the city. Or you can be at a Christmas party or a holiday party, a company party where regrettable things happen, and feel quite alone. You know what I'm talking about? Our message today is simple, but it's really important, and it's connected with our stated purpose here for the church, helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. I want to help you in your connection, your personal connection with Jesus today. We believe that Jesus is not an idea. That coming to Jesus is not coming to try to discover a new philosophy, a different way of doing life. That coming to Jesus is not about trying to get a better life. That it's coming to Jesus. 100% God, 100% man, the person of Jesus, that our salvation, that our faith is in Jesus. Right? I want to help you with your connection of Jesus. And I'm going to refer to the Christmas story, but I wanted to just kind of ask that question because I think loneliness is a big deal. I mean, just check out bowlingalone.com. The United States right now is in one of the loneliest states it has ever been. Via social media, we are, quote, more connected than we have ever been before, and yet statistical, psychological, sociological evidences point to we are the loneliest we have ever been. Tom Hanks was being interviewed about movies and how you pick what movie you're going to choose and whatnot. And he said that he believed that the greatest stories ever written at the heart are about loneliness. Wilson! You think about even Jesus on the cross, there is loneliness. Right? You might make decisions in your life, have rhythms, schedules, mechanisms set up in your daily life to try to help you ignore your loneliness. You might have a certain amount of self-medication, things that you do or use or people that you're around that help you avoid your loneliness. I want to look it right in the face this morning. Because that's not God's plan for your life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Right? When we look at Jesus and the Christmas story this month, I want to ask you this question. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Right? Do you see what I see? Are we looking at the same thing? I was in Port Angeles, Washington once, which is this beautiful city that faces Canada across the water. And there was a church there that had been built up on the hill above the port city. And you could drive up to the entryway into the church to where they kind of had this awning, this cover, because it rains a lot in that part of the world, to drop your mother or your grandmother off to go into church. And I walked up to this driveway next to the church building, and I'm looking across the Sound, this beautiful body of water, over to Canada, to Victoria, which is a beautiful British-style city in the wasteland that is Canada. and I'm standing there, and it's near sunset. And so it's just absolutely beautiful. And I'm just doing nothing but standing there. And someone who lived there walked up next to me and said, "What's wrong? Like, what are you looking at? Is there a fire? Is there a..." I'm looking at that. Do you see what I see? Can you look at this? This is amazing. It's literally one of the most picturesque views in the country, I think. And I've been in 48 of the states. My wife's uncle actually painted the Sound for the Coast Guard in this huge 40-foot mural up there. It is a gorgeous view. And the people that live there are like, "What are you looking at?" Do we get too familiar with Jesus? Do you see what I see? Jesus is God with us. I want you, let's do something a little bit different. I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to say, "You are not alone." Come on, you can do it. You are not alone. Right? And you say that after me. You are not alone. All right, let's try that again. You are not alone. Jesus is God with us. Let's try that one. Jesus is God with us. This is it. This is the topic today. This is very simple. I know a lot of you in this room have served God a while. You have learned a lot of information. And you might think, "Oh, Ben, we're just here for inspiration today." No, listen, we're here to help you connect with Jesus. Yep. You are not alone. Amen. Jesus is God with us. Let's go to the Bible. Let's pray real quick. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to be with us. I pray that as we go to the scripture today, that you'd open our spiritual eyes, that you would help us to learn and help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1, the Christmas story. Why don't we turn there? Can we turn there together, please? Matthew chapter 1. After the genealogy, that stunning list of names. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 18. Anyone need a Bible? Everyone got one? Okay. Matthew chapter 1, are you there? Yeah? Okay, Matthew chapter 1, let's start in verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In his very name, we see this very clear message. Jesus is God with us. I'm the kind of person that I'm pretty real and open about my junk, about my sin, about my past, about my mistakes. And so that has tended to, in my life, in friendships, attract other people that are the same way. People that are plastic and fake tend to get irritated by me, and that's okay. I tend to not be so good with church folks and better with people that are far from Jesus. That's just my honest strengths and weaknesses, because I kind of came to, it's not a noble thing, it's just I'm working on it, I'm trying, but I get a little rough around the edges, and I can get impatient with fake, right? And I'm working on it. God's helping me get more patient. I'm not saying this is a noble thing. It's just one way that I'm a little different. Okay? Seriously, I'm a little different. And I got to a place in my life where I was so tired of pretending that I was okay that I snapped. I was done. Mm-hmm. Right? And I became transparent. In fact, I became too transparent. There is such a thing. Discretion is the better part of valor. Right? So, but what that has happened is that my friends have tended to be people that are also the same way, right? Now, when you're around people that are like that, it starts to change you. It starts to help you remember that you are forgiven. And that is a good thing, right? And that's one of the things that we are efforting to be real for this church. Not something that we say we like, but something that we really are. Is this making sense? We're going to have this openness of, hey, there's no perfect people in this church. Everyone needs Jesus. Well, then we have to also be honest about the fact that sometimes we get comfortable enough with church, with the Bible, with routines, that we are not in a personal relationship with Jesus. And eventually what will happen is we will start to live as unbelieving believers. We see this phrase in the Bible, fear of God. I fear God. What does that mean? Well, if we dig into the passages where it occurs and we dig into the original language, what we come to learn is that fear of God means a constant awareness of His presence. My life experience has been with the people that I described is that there's usually one of two things that has occurred in a person's life and their journey of trying to grow up into Jesus, right? After the point of salvation, it's usually one of two things. Either one, they dove into the Bible head first after salvation in just at a rate that was crazy, and got to a point where they never live a year without reading through the Bible in a year. It's either that, or they got to a place, and this is maybe more common, of talking to God every day like He's a real person. Without the formality. Without the old English vocabulary. Without the praying grandma's prayers. Without the praying like the pastor prays. Or, you know, praying so that someone else who's listening to me will, right? It's where people get a hold of Jesus and they start to talk to Him like He is a real person because He is a real person.
Right.
And Catherine Kuhlman is one of the people who writes about this and her life experiences and about how there was this transition where she started saying, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And I think it's in the States we have kind of swung the other way, like that's weird. People that do that are weird. That's flaky. That's you're psycho. No. Not so much. Read what Jesus says about prayer, what He says about how not to pray, and how He describes how you should pray. There, it is a personal conversation. And my life experience, I guess what I'm trying to describe to you is that it's usually one of those two things when a person is able to make that click and start to make a transition in their life where they sin less and love God more. Right? It's a process. We understand, we've talked about this a lot, right? It's a process in our lives that we're going from at the beginning, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I'm free from my desires, I'm free from my past. My past is not held against me anymore, but still, most of what I do, not so good. Hello? And then as I grow, as I get closer to God, there becomes a transition where normally it's someone else in your life that points out, hey, you're not like you used to be. Hey, now you don't act that way as much as you used to. I mean, I could say that about some of you in this room. And that's a beautiful thing. And you think to yourself, how did that happen? Yeah. Right? Yeah. How? I'm not a noble person. I feel different, but I'm not sure how that happened. In my life experience, in walking side by side, in sharing life with people, it's usually one of these two things. And so if you're not currently, and I know for me this was the case, I was 16 years old. I came back to Jesus. I threw myself headlong, 100%, completely gave God everything. From that day to this day, every day when I get up in the morning, I have time carved out where I walk, I sit, I bounce, I do whatever I got to do, lay down on the carpet with music, whatever it is, but whatever the method, what I am doing is I talk to God like He's a real person. Like He's listening. Like He has thoughts, like He has emotions, like I can ask questions, like I can complain. Do you know that God is not afraid of you shouting and cursing Him out? Now, I'm not trying to encourage sin, but are you aware that there is sin in the Psalms? But what you notice in the Psalms when David is singing the blues is that there comes a time, just like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, where he turns the corner. Like we heard about in the video. Where there is a realization. None of this that I see in my life, David writes. The unrighteous, they're victorious and I'm being chased, right? None of this in my life makes sense. But when I come into the presence of God, what happens? There is a personal interaction between God and Him. A personal interaction. We have to give ourselves time to take inventory and find where in our lives am I relating to God like He's an idea, like He's a philosophy, like I'm just coming to Him so that my life will be better. And when can I relate to Him like He is a real person? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now you might think, Ben, this is a little strange twist on the Christmas story. I love the Christmas story. I love, some of you were here last year, I love just reading chapters of the Christmas story. And you might think, I don't know, is this Bible, is this real, is that what God really, does God really want to have an intimate relationship with us? How can God do that? God is infinite. He created the world. He is certainly capable of personal interaction with every one of us. He knows what you're thinking right here, right now. And He does want it. Let's look at some passages of Scripture. Wait. God doesn't want you to be home alone. Right? He doesn't want you to feel that way. Because we all know that at some point, life doesn't work when we feel like that. Right? Psalm chapter 16, verse 8, David writes, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. We could talk for a month just about that. Right? How does David go from these fragile, these times where you literally are reading the psalm thinking, is he mentally stable? What is going on with him? You read Psalm 22 the next time before you read Psalm 23. He goes from this fragile state and he says, and most translations it says, I see the Lord. I know the Lord is always with me. Another translation is, I saw the Lord always before me. Jesus is already in your future. Some of us are worried about careers or possible spouses or kids or moving or maybe having a baby or whatever. There could be anxiety of all sorts. God is already in your future. There is nothing that you can be nervous about, anxious about now that Jesus isn't already there. Not God, this sci-fi movie type weird music in no face, no just fog. I'm talking into a fog. No, Jesus, who has a face, who has ears, who listens, who has facial expressions, who has emotions, who doesn't want you to go through the difficult things that we go through, who sees how easily we get broken. Jesus, who loves you, is already in your future. I have family members that are concerned about possible diagnoses. There's skin cancer in my family. I've got a couple weird moles myself. And I'm like, uh-oh. Do you know, I could obsess over the mole and let the mole rule my life. This is possible, right? And the Bible tells me to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving. Right? And who is talking? Paul is writing about a conversation with the Savior, Jesus Christ. David writes, "Always with me, I will not be shaken." Where does his resolve come from? It comes from the fact that he could see the Savior. This psalm is one of the ones that is the prophets and other in Acts is referred to as a messianic seeing. They believe he was seeing Jesus. "For he is right beside me." Psalm 23 verse 4 from the New Living. "I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." It's not I'm choosing I won't be a fearful person because I need to be a better person because other Christians say so. No, there is a decision. David says, "I am making here and now in this moment, I am making a decision. I will not be afraid." Why? Because not because you are God who carved out the deep of the ocean, carved up the mountains, raises up kingdoms and put them down. No, what does he say? "I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." Say, "I am not alone." Come on. "I am not alone." You can do better. "I am not alone." Nahum 1, verse 7. "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes." You notice the Bible does not predict for us that trouble won't come. It does describe what our God is when trouble comes. Right? "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust Him." He is close to those who trust Him. Zephaniah 3:17. "For the Lord your God is living among you. With His love, He will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." Can you see Jesus singing over you? Yeah, I think most songs that have been recorded, certainly played on the radio, are about some sort of love affair. And a lot of them are just downright goofy. You see Jesus singing over you? The church that was started immediately after Jesus' resurrection and then ascension up to heaven believed very much that when they gathered, when they shared communion, Jesus walked among them. They saw Him in His resurrected body. They touched Him. They saw Him eat. Do you know that Jesus eats? Hello?
That's good.
Jesus, the person, right? God the Son. He is God with us. It is his name. My wife is in New York City this morning, which is a good thing. She hasn't had enough rest and relaxation in her life, but definitely not in the last few years. When I woke up this morning, I woke up alone, something I'm not accustomed to recently. When I went to bed last night, I went to bed alone. When you are feeling alone, God wants you to breathe the name of Jesus or Emmanuel. Why did he come? I think we make it a mistake if we think that he only came to forgive us our sins. It was not just for that. Now, that is necessary, right, for him to be God with us, because he can't cohabitate with evil, right? We understand the principle of salvation and what is going on, but it was not just for that. It was so that he could represent the living God. It was so that he could show us God's heart for us. It was so he could reach out to us and show us how God felt about us. It was so that he could be skin and bones, live on this earth, understand what we go through, how we live, how we bleed, how we hurt, how we cry, what we fear. Jesus experienced these things. Don't listen to bad theology. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He knew what it was to hurt. When he was betrayed, there is no betrayal in your life that Jesus doesn't understand. Jesus came to be God with us, to walk among us, to feel what we feel, to understand our life. And when you talk to him, think about that. It's not a goofy, flaky, weird thing. It is Bible. Picture Jesus sitting next to you. Maybe it's a good thing for you to set an extra plate for Jesus. Maybe some of us need that, right? To have a conversation with the living God who lives for us, right? Jesus is God with us. God made the decision, every aspect, we could talk for months, every aspect of how Jesus came into this world before the crucifixion informs us about God and how God feels about us. Every aspect, born of humble beginnings. And yet these wise men that come from the upper crust of society, whether you are born in wealth or whether you are born in poverty, Jesus is God with us. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, for the sake of time, we'll just quote this middle part. I really recommend that you regularly read verses 5 through 11. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is not only some humble, easygoing, bearded fellow you can talk to. He is also God. Yes. And Paul writes about how Jesus made a decision to leave his place in heaven. He did not consider himself. He didn't consider his own comfort. He didn't consider his own place above what was going on earth. But he made a decision to obey the Father, to come, to have a humble birth and to walk among us, to be one of us. Jesus made that decision. Are you with me? The gospel, the good news. It's good news of what God has done to reach us. It is not advice about what we must do to reach Him. You are not alone. Right here, right now, today, you are not alone. Jesus is God with us. The story of the virgin birth is about what God did to reach us. It's about His grace. It's about His mercy. He didn't wait till you had your act together. When you were at your worst, He made the decision to come. He could have shown up as a 30-year-old. That's a great age. He didn't. He came as an infant. Everything about messing your pants and not being able to throw like the other guy or whatever. He experienced it, right? Yeah. The human life, He experienced it. And I think what happens to us is that we don't digest this. We don't absorb this. In fact, I think that this is how we find ourselves in different situations. You might find yourself worried about your finances. You know, like Ben and Tisha were describing, Ben said, I came to a place where I realized that I was relying on myself. You know, unfortunately, after he came to a place of not being able to earn enough money for the family, I came to a realization I was relying on myself. I was not relying on God. So you might be worried about finances. Well, if Jesus is with you, I mean like in your house or in your car or on the job, wherever it is that you do your worrying, all of the above. If Jesus is God with you, He's with you. He's for you. He wants what's best for you. The devil's not after your stuff. He's not after your paycheck. He's after your peace. He's after your connection with the living God. God did everything that needed to be done so that you could have a personal connection with Him. Not just so that your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but so that you could also taste heaven on earth and become contagious. And share a little Jesus with someone else. God's intention is not for you to worry, for you to be fearful. I will not be able to make that paycheck. Jesus is not God sitting next to you, your co-pilot in the car. I'm sorry, dog is not our co-pilot. Right? So that you can worry. When I experience anxiety, when I experience fear, and I'm not sure if the money is going to come in, Jesus is God with me. And if I fear God, like the Bible says, if I have a constant awareness of His presence, then wait, if Jesus is with me, and the Bible says we have yet to see the righteous starving for bread. Hello? Anyone here seen God provide some miracle money? Yeah. We've had some big bills this month, and guess what? I've seen over $1,500 come in the last 2 weeks. For our big bills we didn't see coming. But I needed to believe that Jesus is God with me. That He is next to me. That He is for me. He is not just this person. He is the living God. Amen. Owns the cattle on a thousand hill. Right? What we call our own, that's not our own. It's God's. What if my problem is compulsive lying, compulsive exaggeration, compulsive gossip? Maybe it's a sexual sin. Come on, you don't need statistics to let you know that sex in our country is not working right. Hello? If I'm in a place of sexual temptation, but I'm living the Christian life of constant awareness of Jesus' presence, it is more difficult to sin. Now, I don't have a problem with good, healthy, marital sex with an awareness of God because I know it's a part of His plan. Yep. But I do have a problem with doing something sexual that is not a part of His plan if I am aware that Jesus is God with me all the time. Proverbs 4, Solomon writes about guard the issues of your heart. That starts with making a covenant with my eyes, what I will look at. If I am aware that Jesus is God with me, it solves that too. Hello? What if depression is my issue? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Lily of the Valley, the Captain of my salvation, the God above all other gods, the One who loves me for me, even with my stuff. The Jesus who is not trying to get information to you. Hello? The Jesus who loves you. If I'm in a constant awareness of His presence, it's harder for me to feel alone. It's harder for me to be depressed. Let me close with this. God not only wants you to see Him, do you see what I see? He wants you to believe that He's real. Many Bible verses for this. He wants you to see, He wants you to believe that Jesus is God with you, and so that you can overcome. Right? He wants you to be able to overcome those obstacles, not just sweep them under the carpet, but to grow. And as you grow and as you get stronger, as your spirit gets stronger, you are able to overcome those obstacles because now you are aware that all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Jesus God is with me. Right? It's His will. It's His plan. Now, I know I'm a little excited. So let me close with this really practical suggestion. Okay, Ben, so what? There's different ways of celebrating Christmas, right? You can ignore it. You can remember Advent. You can do the 12 days of Christmas, which is a start on the 25th or the 26th, I forget. It's supposed to be after Christmas. Different ways that you can do it. Here's one thing that I would really recommend to you, my spiritual family. Set aside time and energy to be with Jesus. Sit down and read the Christmas story. Right? Sit down and read the Christmas story and think, what does this say to me? Who is this Jesus? What do I see? What can I learn? You are not alone. Jesus is God with us. We need to sit down and carve out time to reflect, to consider. I fear that the modern American life with unending entertainment via the internet and TV and audio and other things leads us to a life where we never think. Where we certainly don't ever think about God. Where we certainly don't have time to have a personal relationship with Him. I'm not here talking today because, like, this is my job. I'm not here delivering this sermon, which is so incredibly simple, to hear myself talk. I'm here because God wants me to be here to help you change, to help you grow closer to Him, to help you connect with Jesus. I would really encourage, maybe you need to say no to a couple of the parties. I don't know, maybe you don't go to parties and you need to go to them to be Jesus with skin on and laugh and just lighten up a little bit. Maybe you need Lighten Up Ministries. I'm going to do that, lightenupministries.com. Maybe you do need more parties, but maybe you need less. Maybe you need less activities. Maybe you need less running around, less shopping, so that you can have time to sit down with the Christmas story and consider, reflect, consider, learn, absorb. Who is this Jesus? And then take time to express gratitude. Right? We should be grateful that Jesus is God with us. Amen? I mean, that's what our Christmas should be all about. You're not alone. Are you getting it? You're not alone. Jesus is God with us. There is nothing in your life, no area of your life, where you are alone. Jesus is God with us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. I love you guys so much, and I'm so happy to see every one of you today. Christmas season is a great time of year, and I just really believe that it's a time of year where we Christians should know what we believe, right? Should know who we believe in. Christians, if anyone, we should not be caught up in the materialism and all the extra activities. I mean, we should celebrate life and gifts and celebrate each other better than anyone, right? We should know how to laugh deep and loud and party better than anyone because Jesus is with us, right? Right? Because it's already settled. It's already done, right? You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. What else does that stuff really matter? It doesn't. When we get a chance during this Christmas season to re-present Jesus to other people in our life who don't know Him, remember this. You can't do that in heaven. We only get to do that here. Jesus is God with you. Let your face show it. You can show other people, right? Let's close in prayer before we get something to eat and drink. God, I just thank you so very much that you sent Jesus to be God with us, to be born a baby, and that even in the name Emmanuel, you told us so clearly why you were doing this. I pray that you would help us to not live our life at such a fast pace that we don't take time to consider that you're with us, that you're right there next to us, that Jesus, you've got a face, you have ears, you have something to say, that you want to listen to us, that you want to walk with us, and you want us to be aware that you're with us. I pray that this truth would sink deep today, deeper than before. It would be changed to our lives. You'd bring peace to us and help us to live out our joy. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name.